This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
All right, going into the AL East. Who you got this year?
It'd be hard to be not looking at the Orioles. The Yankees are always there. Red Sox are always there. You just kind of look around, and it's just such a dogfight every year. But I feel like the Orioles got some momentum about a year and a half ago, you know, and it's kind of the date that Rutschman came up was the date that things kind of turning around a year and a half ago and or 2 years ago. I'd be hard-pressed to think with, you know, what the moves that they made, I think they'd be in a decent spot.
I look at the Orioles, what they did last year, and I think it's not only great for baseball, but I think it's obviously great for the city of Baltimore. It's been a while. It's been a minute that you've been relevant. I mean, that's been a lot of cellar dwelling for them, especially in that division that's been so competitive. Now, with the equal balanced schedules where you don't play within your division like you used to and beat each other up, it's a different animal, so it doesn't matter what division you are, the way the playoffs scheme is set up. But still, last year they won 101 games, and you know, people started to pay attention. It's almost like the Diamondbacks. Diamondbacks have not been really relevant for a while. All of a sudden, they were on a national stage and were a couple games away from winning the World Series. Talk to me about this Oriole team. I know, and the thing I'm looking at going into 2024, and it's a huge part of that bullpen, the back end of that bullpen, because it is a power bullpen. But your biggest power guy is Bautista, and he's going to be out. I know you've gone out and made an adjustment, brought Kimbrel in probably as a stopgap until Bautista's ready. But just top to bottom, go over the Orioles a year ago, how they did it. Because I don't know they necessarily surprised everybody, the teams that were on the ground watching them. You know, my brother in New York, he'd say, Brett, this Oriole team's for real. So those guys, you know, the players, the opponents, they're seeing what maybe not everybody else is seeing. Someone like you doing the games on a daily basis, maybe it wasn't a surprise to you. But the Orioles to come out and win 101 games, I think it kind of shocked the baseball world a little bit last year.
Well, I mean, everybody was always talking about the metrics and the numbers and the staff ERA and everything else. And it was like, yeah, it's kind of average. It's not, you know, they're not putting up huge numbers. They were in the middle of the pack in ERA. And I think they addressed a little bit of that with the Burns signing or the trade and getting a number one. Cause I was, you know, having watched him, I was a little concerned that when they got into the playoffs and you started to run into the top end pitching, that it was going to be a dogfight. And I didn't know if their pitching was going to hold up, and it didn't, starting wise. And then you lose Bautista, who is unbelievable in the ninth inning. They put Cano back there, which is the obvious move. He was an unbelievable eighth inning guy. I like the Kimbrel signing, and as you said, it's probably a stopgap for a year. They did a lot, you know, kind of similar with me. I blew my elbow out in 93, and they get Lee Smith in for a year the next year. I don't know, you know, Batista, I'm sure Batista will come back. That surgery and injury is not as severe as it was when I did it. So, and I think, hate to say it, but I mean, Cano showed he's more of an eighth inning guy. And we've had decades of those guys that were great eighth inning guys. And then when the ninth inning guy gets moved on, because they're like, well, this guy's cheaper and doing the same thing, just find out that being that last dude in the line, it ain't that easy, you know? And I had a lot of really good eighth inning guys, and they weren't ninth inning guys. And so there's a lot to be said to having Batista behind Cano and making that bullpen lock dead after, you know, after seven innings. And now with Batista out, see, you know, Kimbrel can pick up that spot, put Cano back in the eighth. And that was their strength. They were able to play a seven inning game, and they were able to, you know, had a couple middle guys, Colom, Perez, were all solid piece by piece guys that could get them through the sixth, and their starters only had to do, you know, five innings.
You mentioned Rutschman. It seemed like when he got to the big leagues, you said you saw a change in Baltimore in on the field, especially. Does he have that effect? Kind of, you know, I'm trying to look at a comparison to Adley that's come along recently. I think of like kind of like a Buster Posey comes to San Francisco and he's a game changer. And from the bottom up, it's kind of not only what he adds offensively. I think what a year ago he hit 20 and 80 as a young player. That's pretty good. And but it's more than that. It's handling a rotation. It's being that kind of go-to guy on the field, that leader, you know, not in things you say, but how you go about your business. Total package. Talk about Rutschman and a Gunnar Henderson, who's been a real interesting guy to me from the beginning, how athletic he is. Talk about those two guys and their careers going forward.
Well, I mean, Rutschman and the Orioles have the numbers from the minute he came up. The whole record is unbelievable for the Orioles, and they were out of it by, you know, almost by the time that he came up. And he comes up May 20th or May 22nd, something like that, and really switched things around. Having a catcher like that, I mean, honestly, like your dad, of just the stable, solid, influenced, controlling the game, and then to do what, you know, Rutschman did with the 20 and 80. There's just a lot to having a dude behind the plate that will calm everything down in the minute that it starts to explode, walks out to the mound, basically a timeout, basically a pitching coach saying the exact things that I need to hear in the moment that, you know, I'm teetering between being really bad that night or getting things back on track. And it's a one or two pitch window to get it done. And he's that guy. He's that guy in the clubhouse too. And then you talk about Gunnar Henderson. He was supposed to had a conversation with him and his parents. And he was, you know, thinking that he might turn down the draft and come to Auburn and play. And I was like, dude, you cannot do that. I was like, you got to get this thing started. I had, when I was doing games, Showalter was my manager in Arizona. And so I'd come in and we'd be talking, and it was 2 years before. And he said, we got to have a shortstop in the second round. And I was just curious. I was like, well, you know, it's got to be a college guy. He goes, we really have no shortstops in the chain. And it was a fascinating theory, because the previous regime had really drafted corner outfielders and corner infielders and looking for the bats, and they had no real true shortstop. And I was telling Gunnar, I was like, dude, there's nobody in the organization that's going to stop you from running up if you do anything. And man, he ran up quick and rookie of the year last year. So thankfully I lost that mantle. I think we were running on one of the last teams to, or I was one of the oldest rookie of the years, I guess. I don't know what it was, but it
and
was,
I think still only reliever to ever win it.
I was one of them. Yeah. I don't know if, I think Worrell won it in the National League. I might be the only, American League, rookie relief pitcher,
right?
But Yeah, those young guys have been great. They did a really nice job with drafting those guys early, getting them in the system, and then, you know, going against what Major League Baseball has been doing a lot recently, which is keeping guys down so their clock doesn't start.
So Rutschman this year is going to have, as you mentioned at the top, he made the big trade for Burns. Let's go through the starting rotation for the Orioles this year. Tell me what are the keys? Who are you got your eye on to see the, you know, what a year more makes, a year more of experience makes? Who do you look for big strides? And what are the keys for that Oriole team if they want to finish top that division? Because it's still a tough division. You know, you got the Yankees who got a little bit better. It's all health with them. You got the Blue Jays who are really good. You got the Red Sox. I don't know what they're doing these days, but they're really not making improvements like the Red Sox normally do. And then you got the Rays who are unbelievable just year in and year out. They're like the unicorn of baseball. I don't know. They lost Glasnow, and I'm trying to think. They lost McClanahan, who was going to be the Cy Young Award winner a year ago. He's out to Tommy John. Glasnow goes to the Dodgers, but somehow, some way, the Rays will be competitive again like they always are. What's the key for that starting rotation?
You know what? Grayson Rodriguez to take the next step, I think. You know, he had a pretty decent season. Really, they sent him down, I believe, in May, and he came back up, better command of his cut fastball, started using that behind in the count and getting back into counts instead of attacking somebody, you know, 1-0, 2-1, 2-0 with here's a four-seam fastball and have at it. If he makes a step to, you know, being the number two to Burns, I think they're going to be in a pretty good spot because you're sitting there, you're looking at Kramer, you got Bradish, they got rid of Gibson, who was 15 games. It was just, you know, a whole lot of guys that not overwhelming stuff. I think Kramer did a nice job and he's got a chance to get better with more work. But I just think it was going into the season last year, it was, you know, five guys that hadn't distinguished themselves in the past. And then Rodriguez being, a rookie coming in, in a pennant race, and he's trying to figure out how to get guys out at the big league level. It was a big ask. And I think if he makes the jump, it's going to be a pretty solid 1-2 combination with him and Burns.
I'm Trey Wingo. And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
Talk to me about Means. He's a guy years ago I looked to and say, this guy's going to be a future Hall of Famer. Let's not get ahead of myself. Not necessarily a Hall of Famer, but a future number one ace force in the Cy Young candidate or in the Cy Young race year in and year out. Talking about Means, what do you expect from him this year?
I think, you know, he got back into it a little bit. And that's a big step. What would you get back in August? That's a big step coming off of Tommy John surgery. And I look for him to probably get everything settled in to start the season. I don't know if they're going to have him on much of a pitch count or a short leash. I wouldn't be surprised if they try to limit the innings this season, or at least the first half of the season. But he's one of those guys that I could never figure it out, that he can throw a changeup at any time to anybody and make them look bad. And you sit there and you look at it, and Booney, you were a hitter. I mean, I sit there and look at it. I'm going, how do you do that? They know it's coming, and it's 10 miles an hour slower, and it's got a little bit of action on it. But I was, when I threw one, I was just trying to throw it at the knees, bottom of the zone, get you to hit a ground ball and leave. And he gets swing throughs with that thing, pitches up in the zone. I mean, even the changeup plays up, which is bizarre to me.
Key to the Orioles in the AL East 2024 season, from a position player, from a hitter's type, what needs to click for this team to do what, or do essentially what they did a year ago?
Well, you got Henderson's going to continue. You assume Rushman's going to continue. And, as we talked about, you assume that they're going to continue to grow and evolve. I think you
lose Frazier. You lose Frazier, the second baseman, who is a veteran guy, probably had some sway in that locker room because of his travels.
I liked him. I really did. And he brought a stabilizing influence. He put together some really good at-bats when they needed them. I think the key for me probably is going to be Santander out and right. Is he going to continue to, put the home runs in the RBIs and bat leadoff? And then Mullins. Mullins has been a rock star for the last couple of years, and then last year wasn't
hit
quite.
Hit 230.
Yeah, right. Wasn't quite, but he was still a great, great center field presence. Those would be my two keys, probably. If Mullins gets back into the form of a couple of years ago and Santander keeps doing what he's doing, and then you throw Rushman and Gunner up at the top of the lineup, it's got a chance to be pretty good.
How's the back, with the exception of the Bautista or the Kimbrel option now until Bautista gets back, how do you look at that bullpen as far as stacking up with the rest of the league?
If you put Kimbrel in there and he's throwing well, you got Cano in the eighth, and then you got a little bit of a mix and match thing with Colom, Perez, left-handers coming out of the pen. I think they got a chance to be as good as they were last year, but I mean, Bautista and Cano and Bautista were unbelievable eighth, ninth inning, where they weren't blowing anything and they weren't giving up runs. And Cano had a run of not walking or giving up a hit for like 18 innings. It was beyond stupid. And so hard to duplicate, back end with the stress and a major league hitter in the box that's wanting to take care of things. It's hard to sit there and go, yeah, you know what? I can throw up a 1.6 ERA again this year. That'll be easy. It ain't that easy. So if they're stable and they got the pieces in the, sixth, seventh inning spots and assuming a couple of the guys, Kramer, Rodriguez grow up a little bit more, it could be fairly fun to watch.
Turning to another goofy subject.
Uh-oh.
I like watching. I don't have the what am I looking for here? I don't have the game that you have, but I watch you on Twitter and it cracks me up. You have these dialogues, you'll have people chiming in, and then you'll give them, you're never rude, you're never dropping F-bombs or anything like that, but you're subtly kind of edging them along, like, oh, I forgot you played in the big leagues for 20 years. And it's that settle back and forth, but I always see Ole stirring it up a little bit.
A little bit.
Tell me,
yeah.
Do you enjoy going back and forth with people on Twitter? And do you have accounts that you go to that are your regulars, like your go-to accounts?
I got some guys I watch on Twitter, but for the most part, it'll be, like Jeff Fry will throw something on there. He throws a lot on there about the gurus.
Oh, about
and
the
everybody
hitting
else.
And the teacher, yeah. Man, he's always, yeah, arguing with him. All right.
Yeah. So I'll end up getting, some feedback down on something somebody's doing, and I'll say something, and then it'll devolve into somebody will tell me, I don't know what I'm talking about, I'm old.
Yes.
And then the clubhouse part of me comes out and I throw a grenade. A lot of times I'm not sure if they know it's a grenade until everybody starts chiming in. But I try not to be too rude, but every once in a while when a couple of the guys, certified pitching instructors, tell me that I didn't throw my curveball right, I'm like, okay, well, what do you got? Show me. Show me a video. I can still spin one if you want, and I'm old. But if you want to show me a video of you throwing this curveball that I'm not throwing right and how you would throw it, have at it. But it's fun. I really – I do enjoy – the people wanting to honestly learn something, and the conversations you have about what, you know, baseball is. I try not to do what, you know, how good our game was, but it's a blast. It really is. Are you lurking, Booney?
Oh, I lurk. Yeah. I'm going to send this to you and when the podcast comes out, so then you can make note of it. Yeah, I lurk, and occasionally you'll see me. I might drop a like in a lot of, you know, when there's a lot of banter going on, I just sneakily sneak in there. But yeah, I'm lurking. I don't have much to say.
I get a couple guys that'll chime in on my thing, and it'll be like Todd Pratt or, you know,
right,
a couple Glendon Rush. I'll get like six or seven major league guys that something will get stirred up, and they'll start chiming in, and all I'll just do is going, and another major leaguer agrees with me, and right, just kind of leave it at that. So if I see Booney lurking, I'm gonna throw a little arrow your way and
put one out there. I'll come up with something. The end of the day, you mentioned you got hurt in '93. Played for a lot of teams, but at the end of the day, you're an Oriole, you're the all-time saves leader, you're in their Hall of Fame. The city of Baltimore, the history of Baltimore Oriole baseball, is it good to see that city liven up with last year and the current success that they're having? Is that for an Oriole Hall of Famer, is it pretty cool to see that city have a little life and people actually talking about the Orioles and actually being legitimate instead of, oh, it's another basement dwelling season?
It was great to see last year. The attendance came back to like it was in the 90s of where the house was full almost every night. The fans are great. After COVID, you know, downtown Baltimore's gotten on the rough side, and you know, in and around the ballpark is not what it once was. And I'm hoping that with the team, the Inner Harbor area, the downtown area will start to come back to life like it was, you know, when it initially came in like 92 with the Camden Yards. But it's, you know, the fans deserve it. They're great fans. They show up when you put together a good product on the field. And it was a lot of fun. It was hard when the team was struggling and nobody's in the crowd. This was hard to watch.